Hello, this is Kate Swanell, and you're listening to the MJA podcast. We're coming to the end of the Australian winter, and the big sports are reaching the pointy end of their seasons. The Australian cricket team is about to regain top batsman Steve Smith from a concussion. Players young and adult across the country are trying to recover from head knocks in time for the all-important finals. So concussion is on everybody's minds. My special guest today is Dr. Amanda Clacey, who is a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of the Sunshine Coast Mind and Neuroscience Thompson Institute. Amanda wants to see more research into the longitudinal effects of concussion on the plastic teenage brain. We have a lot of concussion protocols in sport these days. Do we have any specific to adolescents?
We do. So a number of sports have actually really stepped up to their role in managing concussion and developed or implemented protocols around managing concussion for their players. It usually looks a lot more like the same as the adult management, but with a bit more time. So there's a mandatory stand down of about 3 weeks in some sports.
What question were you trying to answer with your research? What is your focus in terms of understanding concussion in teenagers?
So my passion is really to understand the interaction between not only the effect of concussion on the developing brain, but also how that relates to the onset of mood disorders and suicidality, while also answering the question around the benefits of sport and how that can actually be a way of treating concussion or improving the outcomes following a concussion, because there's so many known benefits of playing sport.
We'll get to those in a tick. What's the difference between an adolescent brain and an adult brain in terms of mood and mental health?
The big difference between an adolescent brain and an adult brain is around sensitivity. So an adolescent brain is going through a lot of development. Mm-hmm. There's a massive proliferation of synapses, so lots of connections are happening that are subsequently pruned. So it really is that use it or lose it stage in development. So it really is important it's an important time for adolescents to be engaging with experiences and learning new things, because those connections will then wire in their brain. In regards to the mental health, it's associated with a lot of your prefrontal cortex at the front of your brain. That's where our decision-making and our personality mm-hmm. is processed. And that's actually the last region of the brain to develop entirely. So okay. In adolescence, there's a lot of learning and experimentation that's actually developing our thought processes and our problem-solving and our personality. So that's a big difference between adolescents and adults. The who we are part of the brain hasn't actually fully cooked yet.
Is it about plasticity?
It is about plasticity. That's exactly it. So during adolescence, we have beautifully plastic brains that we want to see our young people using to their full ability, and then when we start to get a couple of years under the belt, that plasticity becomes a little slower.
When someone gets concussed, which bits of the brain are affected the most? Does it have to do with where on the head you get hit, or is it a pretty uniform set of results when you get concussed?
It does depend on the mode of injury, so mm-hmm. whether it's whiplash, so a body tackle, for example, or if yes. it's a blunt trauma, it will depend on that kind of mode of injury. But we do see a lot of shearing, so axonal shearing, in regions such as the prefrontal cortex and the limbic system, so where our thoughts, emotions and feelings kind of live in the brain, and the connections between those two regions. When you think about it, it's your problem solving and the connections to your feelings that get a bit of a knock around following a concussion.
Your argument, or one of your hypotheses, is that because the bits of the brain that are the most plastic, shall we say, in adolescence, have a lot in common with the bits of the brain that are most affected when we have a concussion, that we need to do a lot more thinking about how teenagers particularly and concussion interact.
Very much so, yeah. Mm. It could be a double-edged sword. It could work either way. So that plasticity could bring about a heightened sensitivity to injury. So young people might feel the concussion more, have ongoing effects more because of that scar tissue in the brain if it occurs. But it could also mean that they could recover from an injury a lot easier because their brain is plastic and continue to, you know, grow and develop around an injury. I actually don't know which is the accurate scenario, or if it's different for each individual, which I suspect it might be. But it is an interaction that we do need to look at in more detail.
Let's talk a bit about the benefits of sport emotionally for kids. What are the major things that we like to get kids involved in sport for?
Sport has such an amazing impact on development and well-being, from everything from your pro-social behaviours, so how to work with other humans, also life skills around, you know, discipline, commitment, communication, teamwork, but it also has a neurobiological impact as well. So
yeah,
the positive impact of sport on the brain is something that we've seen in a myriad of research, and it's something that I think is getting lost in the conversation around concussion. So the regions of the brain that feel that impact following injury are also the regions of the brain that feel the benefit of engaging in physical activity and social engagement. So if we're saying that a concussion might hurt these regions of the brain, but sport might help these regions of the brain, that has to be part of the conversation, because
yes,
those benefits can't be lost in the conversation.
I'm chatting today with Dr. Amanda Clacey from the University of the Sunshine Coast. She has co-authored a perspective on adolescent concussion, which you can find at mja.com.au. Back to our chat. Do you think these things you're saying might be controversial to other concussion scientists or researchers?
Potentially, yes.
Why do you think? In other words, I think I'm asking you, what's the contentious bit?
I think there's a lot of apprehension and fear around concussion in kids for obvious reasons.
Sure.
It's a brain injury. It's a very serious injury that we need to not only know more about, but do more about. But my opinion, my perspective, or where my research comes from, is also how do we keep kids in sport?
Yes.
So it's a bit of a paradox almost. So you play sport, you have an increased chance of getting a concussion, and that could lead to an unhappy state for your brain. But
mm-hmm.
you play sport and your brain is happy. So
yes, yes.
I think that's where that contention comes into it, is standing up boldly and saying we need to keep kids in sport. Yes, concussion is bad, but kids need to be running around and playing and getting a little bit knocked around from time to time, because they learn in that process.
I guess what you're mainly asking for is a lot more research.
Yeah, we do need to do a lot more longitudinal research area.
Yep.
So it's one thing to take a snapshot of the brain following a concussion and learn some stuff about what it's done in the moment, but we don't know that long-term effect or long-term impact on the developing brain, which is something that we do need to research more. But we also need to know what the natural recovery from concussion looks like in the adult brain. So we actually don't know what normal recovery looks like. So when you think about protocols like your 3-week stand down, which is a blanket ruling, so one
yep.
size fits all, we actually don't know what the natural recovery for the brain looks like in adolescence. So that's a bit of an arbitrary mandate. And what that, we're actually seeing that affect things like your reporting rates or how seriously kids take concussions. They obviously don't want to not play sport for 3 weeks. So if we had a better idea of what our recovery profile looked like, we could come up with individually based treatment regimes and stand-down periods, which are more reflective of the needs of the individual rather than these blanket rulings.
So what would you like to see happen next?
Out of the Sunshine Coast Mind and Neuroscience Thompson Institute,
mm-hmm.
We've actually partnered with the Paediatric and Occupational Therapy Department of the Sunshine Coast University Hospital to develop a big longitudinal study that's actually looking at that long-term impact of concussion on adolescent brain.
Cool.
And how it interacts with the onset of mood disorders.
Yep.
But also looking at that natural recovery profile as well, and how sport plays an impact on improving outcomes. So we've cooked up a lovely big study. It's a collaborative study that involves not only researchers, but people who are in the emergency department working
mm-hmm.
with these kids when they come in on the weekend. We're hoping that that will be able to then translate the findings of the research directly into practice.
Terrific. What's your time frame?
It should be launched by the end of this year, so into 2019.
Great.
And it'll run for 3 to 5 years.
How do we manage adolescents with concussion now? And where do you think the research should point specifically? Where do we need to go next?
When we understand a little bit more about the recovery profile in the brain, we can obviously come up with those tailored management protocols. But for now, it really is around acknowledging the injury for what it is. So it is a serious brain injury. But we also need to remember that our brains are an amazing organ that can do a pretty good job at repairing themselves when we give it time. It really is that for now, what we need to do is acknowledge the injury and give our brains time to repair. So it might not be fun, step down from sport for 3 weeks. That's what we know at the moment. That's probably the best protocol, because it is that physical and cognitive rest, so not playing sport
mm-hmm.
and having a couple of days away from screens and school. It gives your brain that opportunity to do a bit of damage control and start repairing those synapses, so repairing that injury. And then there's a good chance you'll come out the other side of it perfectly fine with no ongoing effects at all.
Given the way the media can misinterpret some things, are you concerned that you might be inadvertently whipping up some unnecessary fear amongst parents, for example?
Whenever I talk about concussion, there are parents in the crowd that'll feel that fear or have had an experience where their child didn't recover well from concussion or is having ongoing concussion symptoms. And that's a scary, scary thing. I'm hoping that people can see that what I'm essentially advocating for is movement away from one size fits all. So while I can stand up and say that we just need to learn to do more and just give it a bit of time, your brain will be fine, there are some cases where that's not actually true. Some young people will have ongoing effect and some people will have, you know, long-term difficulties following a concussion. And there's treatment and protocols around those as well. It is a visit to your specialist to manage that. My research is focused around the majority. So when you think of the hundreds and thousands of kids who play sport every weekend in Australia, there's a small percentage who'll get a concussion, and there's an even smaller percentage who'll have ongoing and adverse effect. My research is focused on that middle ground, the people who get a concussion but are more than likely going to bounce back with appropriate rest and time.
Thanks, Amanda. Take it easy.
Cheers. Thanks again.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.